the ultimate goal of God, He predestined you and me to become conformed, our character transformed to the image of His Son. The message today is very simple. God is for you. Together, tell your neighbor, God is for you. God is not against you. God is for you. Now, question, how do you know God is for you? In chapter 8, verse 31, let's read this together, everybody, if you don't mind, all right? What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who is against us? One more time. If God is for us, who is against us? Who is for us? God. If God is for you, who is against you? Answer? Nothing. Let's begin by giving you a simple outline of my message today. God is for us. I want you to remember three important words. The first word is promise. The second word is purpose. And the last word is what? Provision. How do you know God is for you? Look at His promise. How do you know God is for you? Look at His purpose, the heart of God. How do you know God is for you? Look at His provision. So you expand these three as we study together now. Let's begin with some of your favorite verses. I love Romans chapter 8. Let's begin with verse 28. Everybody, read this together now. And we know. Notice, we know. It does not use the word we see. Because many times you don't see. But you know by faith. You see by faith. What do you know? Amazing. God, everybody know, God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. What can we learn about God? God is for you. How do you know? It says, we know God is at work. Everybody repeat, God is at work. Not just at work. God is at work sometime. What does it say? God is at work most of the time? Excuse me? God is at work all the time. In all things. Are you aware that God is intimately involved in your life? God is at work all the time, in all things. Ah, this is the problem. What about bad things? Is God involved in bad things? Is God causing bad things to happen to you? Now, you better understand how to interpret the Bible. What this verse is simply saying is this. God can use all things, good or bad. Remember, God is not the author of evil. But He may allow evil men to do evil things against you. And that's reality. Just look at this world. Yes, bad things can happen to you. The challenge of this verse is this. You may know this in the head, but how do you apply this in your life? You see, if bad things happen to bad people, no problem. If good things happen to good people, are you happy? Yes. What's the problem? The problem is this. If bad things happen to good people, what do you do? The truth is this. I've seen many, many of God's people. They pray for healing. And the truth is, they die. They pray for their marriage. Eventually, the marriage fall apart. They pray for their business, and the business fall apart. Your temptation is to judge God based on circumstances. Today, I want you to understand, God is for you. How do I know? Look at His promise. Let's review this promise one more time. We know that God causes all things to work together for good. My wife and I, we were in Singapore attending a leadership conference. and an accident happened. You see, we were dropped off by our friend to our hotel. When I opened the door on my right, that's the hotel lobby, my wife opened her door on the left side. The moment she opened the door, a taxi went by and hit the door. Now, do you know what's going to happen when that thing happened in Singapore? All people are polite, so there was a scene. But in my mind, I was trying to think now. I'm so tired. I was so tired. I wanted to go to my room and sleep. And here it is, accident. I cannot leave the scene because the driver is my friend and the wife was there. So I was thinking, whose fault is it? I was thinking, it's my fault. Can I tell you why? Because when we arrived at the hotel, I said, let's pray. Let me pray for you. So we stopped longer and we prayed. After prayer, I opened the door, she opened the door. Boom! So I said, what if I had prayed longer? Because my prayer was so short, I was so tired. So I go, that's my fault, I should have prayed longer. But then I said, it's my wife's fault. Because she should have looked, you know, understand? Honey, do you understand? You should look before you get out of the car. You should always look behind you. So I was thinking, So I was trying to blame somebody, okay? But I remember this verse. God causes all things to work together. Then I realized it's one thing to know, it's another thing to apply. So I was thinking, Lord, what good thing can come out of this? I realized God was molding my character. Peter, learn patience. I'm going to tell you something now. When good things are happening, it's nice, right? But when bad things happen to you, are you willing to apply this verse? God causes all things to work together for good. Now, what do you mean by good? The good here is not always material. It is not always physical. The good has to do with your character. It has to do with your transformation. So God uses all things to work together for good. The good is His good. He knows what is best for you. Amen? So everybody repeat, God is for you. He's always at work for good. You see, bad things can happen. Adversity can happen. But it is not automatic. You become better. Let me repeat. When trials come, you don't automatically experience good unless you cooperate. To those who love God. Last week, I was able to hear the testimony of an amazing Christian. You may not realize that this guy is a Christian. His name is Pat Gelsinger. He was with Intel for 30 years. Then he was let go. And he said, when I was let go, it was the darkest time of my life. Because he was with the founder. And he had a very high position. But you know what happened? Because he loved the Lord, he continued serving the Lord. He continued doing his part. Of course, when he left the company, instead of withdrawing from society, instead of just retreating, he kept on serving the Lord because he loved the Lord. He loved the Lord. He kept on testifying for the Lord. He became a president of another company. But guess what happened? In 2021, 10 years later, after he was let go, he was requested to come back to become the new CEO of Intel. So Patrick Gelsinger today is the CEO of Intel. How did that happen? He said, the Lord transformed my character. When I was let go, after 30 years of faithful service, God did something in my life. My friend, God is at work. His promise, God causes what? All things to work together for good. To those who love Him, to those who are called according to His purpose. Now, what is God's purpose? Your ultimate good. Now, remember, God is going to sacrifice, and he's more than willing to sacrifice physical comfort for your character. Let's look at Romans 8:29. All right? In Romans 8:29, God causes all things to work together for good. Verse 28. Look at 29 now. For those whom he foreknew, he predestined to become conformed to the image of his son, so that he would be the firstborn among brethren. What in the world does that mean? Friends, God created us in the book of Genesis in the image of God. Amazing privilege. But something happened because of sin. The image of the Son of God involves the following: character. God wants us to be as kind as Jesus. God wants you to be as holy as Jesus. God wants you to be as understanding, compassionate as Jesus. However, to accomplish that, God has to use all circumstances. Amen? So God's predestined will for you and for me is for us to become, everybody read, conformed to the image of his son, Jesus. I will teach you the following words. Those whom he predestined, I'm going to discuss that, he called. What does it mean of the word called? Those whom he called, he justified. We discussed this already, but I'll just repeat quickly. And those whom he justified, he also glorified. This is the timeline, the destiny of a child of God. God foreknew, he predestined, he called, he justified, and he glorified. Do you notice glorified is technically a future tense, but here it is past tense? You know, we make promises, but we don't fulfill them. Not with God. God's promise he will fulfill. Look at this theological word. First, foreknew. What is the meaning of the word foreknew? You see, for most people, you think foreknew means, sure, you know everything in advance. That is true. God knows everything in advance. That's part of the meaning. But that is not the primary meaning of this word foreknew. It is more than that. God's foreknowledge does not mean he knows everything in advance only. God knows everything in advance, but God has a part in making those advanced things happen. Let me give an example, Jeremiah. All right? Let's look at Jeremiah. How that word foreknew. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Huh? What does that mean? Before you were born, I consecrated you. I set you apart. I have appointed you a prophet to the nations. Here is how that word is used. Before Jeremiah was even born, God is saying, I knew you. What does that mean? Does this simply mean he knows what's going to happen to Jeremiah? No. It meant before he was even born, God had a plan for Jeremiah already. It says here, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. I consecrated you, I appointed you. Guys, that is how important you are to God. You are not a product of accident. I want you to know today, God is for you. And he foreknew you. Think about it. Before you were even born, God had a part in designing you. It's very amazing. God foreknew. And after foreknowing, predestination. Well, you know, predestination simply means God determined in advance, right? Predestination, destination. The Greek word for that is horizon. God preset where you're going to be, all right? Now, look at how this verse is used. I love this verse in the book of Acts. The Bible tells us, when the Gentiles heard this, they began rejoicing and glorifying the word of the Lord, as many as had been predestined, appointed to eternal life, believed. You see? It makes me very humble. It makes me realize it's all about God. Even for me to believe, God did something. If God did nothing, I don't think I'm going to believe. You know, there's always an argument. What about human responsibility? Can I tell you something? This is the mystery of the Christian faith. God is in control. Yes or no? You are responsible. Yes or no? These are all true. Do not focus on one truth at the expense of human responsibility. Do not focus too much on human responsibility that you neglect the sovereignty of God. But they are both taught in the Bible, and they are equally true. How can that be? My simple mind tells me this. I am responsible for my choices. I am responsible. But God is sovereign. God invites all sinners. God wants every sinner to be saved. Whosoever will can come. It's an open invitation. So I made a choice. I enter heaven by through Jesus. Then when I look back, I have goosebumps. Because I see, right after the entrance, my name. Chosen. Peter Tanchi. Chosen before the foundation of the world. Wow! I said, how can that be? When you enter heaven, you see your name. Chosen before the foundation of the world. I want you to read one more verse. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Okay? What is the meaning of the word called? Predestined, he called you. Everybody together. We should always give thanks to God. See, Paul is being thankful. Brethren, beloved by the Lord. He calls you beloved. Because, everybody read now. Because God has chosen you from the beginning for salvation. This word predestination is always connected with salvation. You don't ever see it connected with damnation. God does not predestine anybody to go to hell. But he predestined those who will go to heaven. Think about it. By doing nothing, we choose to go to hell. For God to do nothing, I will choose to go to hell. But God has to do something to soften my heart. So I'm saved by the grace of God. Amen? And I go to hell because I choose to sin. I cannot blame God for going to hell. You will learn more about that next week. In the meantime, let's read this together. God has chosen you from the beginning for salvation. Through what? The sanctifying, through sanctification by the Spirit. You see, the Spirit is at work. And faith. Faith is a gift from God. Continue. In truth, it was for this he called you. How do you know God called you? When you hear the gospel. See, the gospel message is God's calling to everybody. Whosoever will, believe. Please believe. And that is the meaning of this verse. That you may gain the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. The end result is glory. God wants you to experience his glory. If you do not mind, can I share with you that idea of glorification, all right? Let's read that verse one more time. Romans 8, verse 30. Okay? Everybody, now read it fast. Those whom he predestined, he called through the gospel. Those whom he called, justified. What is the meaning of justification? Declared not guilty. Declared righteous. That's God's act. Everything is about him. And those whom he justified, he? That's the challenge. How come the word glory is now in the past tense? Because the Bible tells us, and scholars explain this, when a prophecy is a certainty, it is written as if it has happened already. So my friend, God's prophecy, you will be glorified. You are going to have experienced glory. But in the meantime, do you experience glory? In the meantime, not yet. Look at 1 John chapter 3. What is the meaning of glory? The meaning of glory is the end goal of sanctification is Christ-likeness. Let me repeat, the end goal of sanctification is Christ-likeness, glory. Look at 1 John chapter 3. Together. Beloved, we are now children of God. Can you tell your neighbor you're a child of God? Tell your neighbor. You're a child of God. However, it has not yet appeared as yet what we will be. Not yet. But we know that when he appears, when Jesus comes again, we will be like Him, conformed to His image completely, not just character, even physically, because we will see Him just as He is. You guys have no idea the future glory that you're going to have. We are going to be conformed to be like Jesus, to be with Jesus. And that, my friend, is the greatest glory of God's people, and it is guaranteed. You are guaranteed to experience the glory. Amen? Oh, my goodness. Why do you worry? Why are we anxious when the truth is God is saying, I promise to take care of you? You know, for God to be able to make those promises, it requires omniscience. You got to know everything, what's best. You got to be omnipresent. You got to be all over the place. And you have to be omnipotent to make bad things into something good. How in the world can you do that? Only God can do that. My friend, what is your job? Cooperate with Him. Love Him. And lastly, as we finish, God's provision. What is God's provision? Let's find out. You know, this is amazing. When it comes to God's provision, look at what He's saying, okay, everybody? Shall we read Romans 8, 31, 32 together? What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who is against us? Now, how do you know God is for you? Look at His provision. Everybody read. He who did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him up over for us all. How will He not also with Him freely give us all things? Do you understand what the Bible is saying? God is saying, if I give you my most precious best, my own Son, if I give Him to you, will I not give you other things that's going to be good for you? Do you understand the argument here? Paul asked 5 questions to assure you that God's purpose, God's goodness will be accomplished. First question, if God is for us, who is going to be against us? Second question, if God gives us everything, will He not also freely give us what is good? So God wants what's best for you. The third question, who can accuse us? The fourth question, who can condemn us? And the last question, who will separate us from the love of God? Answer, nothing. Because God's purpose and God's provision are all connected, but the greatest provision is Jesus Christ. Now, we understand a little of how God's will, how God's power, and human responsibility fall together. It's hard to understand. But I give you extra Bible study today. Is that okay with you? Do you know who is Joseph? Joseph, Genesis, the story of Joseph. Now, I want you to imagine you're Joseph, okay? And then tell me how you feel. Joseph, his brother hated him. His brother betrayed him. His brother sold him as a slave. How do you feel if you are Joseph? Betrayed by your brother? Sold as a slave? Be honest, how would you feel? Now, I want you to imagine now. When you became a slave, you wanted to honor God. And your boss, Mrs. Potiphar, she bossing, seduced you. Hey, guy, you're handsome, and I can promote you. I will promote you. Just go to bed with me. You know, my husband is always busy. He's always fighting the war. But I'm so lonely. Will you visit me tonight? I'm so lonely. If you are Joseph, what will you do? Now, remember, Joseph's testosterone was in full bloom, okay? Joseph said, no. I cannot do that. Boy, what happened? He was maligned. He was falsely accused. The wife lied. Sexual harassment case. Attempted rape. Even though Joseph was not doing that. And worst of all, Joseph ended up in jail. Now, be honest now. How would you feel if you were Joseph? Will you say, this is the day. This is the day. Huh? Will you do that? Or will you say, ano ba yan? Huh? Be honest. I'm a Christian. I followed you. I lost my job. I'm maligned. Now a case filed against me. And I'm in jail for the rest of my life. Where is God? But you know what's amazing? That you cannot be separated from the love of God. The Bible tells us God was with Joseph. God was with Joseph. God was with Joseph. And something happened. One day the king had a bad dream. He could not understand the dream. And somebody remembered, I remember Joseph. Where did that cabinet member who heard the problem of the king and told the king the solution? That guy was in jail with Joseph. See, Joseph needed to go to the jail to meet the cabinet member who is testing the wine for the king. And that cabinet member told the king, I know of somebody who can help you. And Joseph became what? Prime Minister of Egypt. Amazing. God causes all things to work together for good to those who love him, to those who are called according to his purpose, because Joseph kept loving the Lord. He did not make the bog the bog. He did not make tampo. He kept on having quiet time. He kept on serving the Lord because his faith is not anchored on circumstances. His faith was anchored on a personal knowledge of who God is. God is good, and God loves you, and God is for us. God is for you. Amen? Look at the last statement of Joseph. This is what he said. You meant evil against me. He told his brothers, you meant evil against me. You are responsible. But God meant it for good, to bring about this present result, to preserve many people. You see, Joseph was living based on his love for God and the purpose of God. God gave Joseph an amazing purpose, to save people, to be a blessing. But he did not excuse the brothers. Look, they are responsible. You meant evil. You see, someday God will hold everybody accountable. You cannot say, Lord, it's your will. No, it's your will. No. You are responsible. You are responsible for your choices. But God is ultimately what? In control. Who will bring a charge against God's elect? Today, you will be accused, sometimes by your own conscience. You made mistakes. Your own conscience will bother you. Satan will accuse you. People will accuse you. God is saying, don't worry. Ako bahala dyan. God is the one who justifies. Who is the one who will condemn you? Christ Jesus. Notice the description of Jesus. Died, yes. Rather, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who also intercedes for us. Do you know the meaning of the word intercede? The Bible tells us, what is God's provision for us? Freedom, protection from accusation, protection from condemnation, because God gave us Jesus. I want you to imagine now, today, you are in a court, okay? In a court of law. The accuser, the Bible tells us, Satan is the accuser. Can you imagine now? You are in the court. Satan is accusing you. Be honest with me. Have you done something you are embarrassed about? Are you guilty of certain things in your life? I look at my past life. I made lots of mistakes. And Satan is accusing you. Can I ask you a question? Since a prosecutor, Satan is the accuser, who is your lawyer? Let's look. It says, who also intercedes. So who's your lawyer? Jesus. When I go before the court, and the judge is my father, and my lawyer is Jesus, I don't care who's going to accuse me. Jesus will say, yes, I paid for that sin. I took care of that sin. So how can you ever be convicted? You see, my friend, some of you are not enjoying the Christian life. You are always worried. You are always afraid. Can I tell you something? If God gave us his best with Jesus, you have everything. Freedom from damnation, freedom from condemnation, freedom from judgment. What are you afraid of? Who is against you? If God is for us, is God for you? What's the answer? If God is for us, nothing is against us. So the most amazing last few sentences of Romans. Let's finish it together. Everybody, can you please read? Who will separate us from the love of Christ? I love this phrase, the love of Christ. You know, my love for God is weak. My love for Christ sometimes will grow cold. But not the love of Christ. Not the love of God. Who will separate us? He now named a couple of things. I believe 7. Tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril or sword. Example of these seven bad things. Nothing. And then he concludes, as it is written, for your sake we are being put to death all day long. We were considered a sheep to be slaughtered. And this is where most people don't preach properly. The Christian life is not a bed of roses. This verse tells you, you are going to go through trials. We are considered a sheep to be slaughtered. The Christian life is not always easy. It's tough. But, look at the next verse. I love the next verse. Everybody read. But in all these things, we overwhelmingly conquer through him who loved us. My friend, we are conquerors. Say that. We are conquerors. Not just conquerors. We overwhelmingly conquer. You see, Christian, there's no reason for you to live a defeated, depressed life. If you are depressed today, if you are defeated today, it's because you don't know how to avail of these amazing promises. Whatever happens to you is for your good. You got to apply your faith in the Word of God, the truth. God is for us. There's nothing that can overcome God's plan and desire for your life, which is your good. What is your good? To be like Christ, your character, and your future glory. Wow, look at this. I am convinced. Are you convinced? I hope you're convinced today. What should you be convinced of? Everybody, neither death nor life, angels, principalities, things present, things to come, powers, height, depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of Christ, which is in Christ Jesus. Amen, my friend. He described 10 things. Nothing will separate you from the love of Christ. Nothing. And by the way, the Apostle Paul went through all of this, okay? The reality, death, life, angels, principalities, these are cosmic forces. But don't worry. God is saying, I'm holding you. Do you know last week, my wife and I, we were in Boracay with our granddaughter. Now, my youngest daughter, her name is Porsche. Now, she has a mind of her own. So when the Yaya was holding her hand to climb the stairs, she wanted to be on her own. Then she fell. She hit her head on the stair. You can see the gas, the blood. It was awful. The next day, we were going to go to the stair again. I offered my hand. You want to hold my hand? Yes, 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 yes. You know why she decided to hold her hand? Because she experienced. By her own, it's dangerous. You know, many times God allows you to fall to remind you, stop being on your own. We like to be on our own. And in the process, we get hurt. But can I tell you some more things about God? You may want to run away, but he won't let you run. Many times I wanted to run away from God. Many times I want to run away, but God is saying, I'm going to hold you. God is holding you. You know why he's holding you? God is for you. Amen? As we close, listen to me. God is for us. Yes? My question is this. If God is for you, are you for God? If you are for God, victory is guaranteed. Are you for God? Yes. Amen. Let's bow our heads. As your heads are bowed down, some of you cannot honestly say you are for God. You don't really love him. Well, I'd like you to pray this simple prayer. If you are not for God, you have not made a choice. You are straddling. You know what straddling? Namamangka sa dalawang ilog. You are canoeing in two rivers. You are standing on the fence. I want you to make a commitment today. Say, Lord, I will stop being ambivalent. I will make a decision. I will be for you because you are for me. If that's your desire, to make a stand, say, Lord, I am for you. I want you to pray this prayer with me, all right? Everybody, pray this prayer with me. If you are for God, you want to make a commitment, pray something like this. Lord Jesus, I know you are for me. You have amazing promises. Your purpose for me is wonderful, and your provision for me is none other than your Son, Jesus. So, Lord, today, I realize you are really for me. My prayer now is I will be for you. Help me to make good choices. From this day onward, I will choose you. You be my master. You be my savior. I surrender my entire life to you. If that's your prayer and you pray that prayer, I want you to know something. God is for you, and nothing will separate us from the love of God. And to those who have already committed their lives to Jesus, I like you to share this amazing truth. I want you to tell others that God is for them. I want you to learn to rest and not worry. I want you to learn to take an attitude of restedness in the hand of Jesus. Say, Lord, I surrender to you all my future. I may not know what will happen to me. I commit to you my relationship. I commit to you all our struggle. But Lord, I know you are for me. In Jesus' name we all pray. Amen and amen. God bless.